right by side of the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Gregorino and Jody calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, good morning. You may be a little chilly on your willy wherever you are, but it's hot right here because you've tuned in to the one and the only Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Chris Switzer. Chris, how are you today?
Oh, my willy's a little chilly today.
I saw
my longtime radio colleague.
Saw the frost on the pumpkin, and I knew we were going to have to warm this sucker up. So let's get it going. Let's throw a log on the fire and make this thing perk.
You betcha, my brother. This is a very good show we have today, right? We're not talking to each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to have Mr. Carl Anthony, our good friend from automoblog.net. Right.
Yes.
Sitting with our good friend Daryl yesterday, and I told him about this site, and he kept repeating it, Auto Mo Blog. I'm like, right, Auto Mo, like the Three Stooges, and blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. And you should.
I got it.
You should check them out because they do keep they have their finger on the. Well, we take care of the old stuff and whatever falls into our purview. They have their finger on the trends of the day, the new stuff. They also do, they do what we used to do: spring, winter, summer kind of stuff. We're going to talk about that with Carl a little bit. But new cars, they have a whole separate section for e vehicles and things like that. So we'll get a big update from Carl and we'll see what's going on.
But, yeah, I'm on their site right now. It's very nice.
It is very
comprehensive.
Absolutely.
Very
so
tasty.
Everybody should know they should follow us on social media and get the best of what we do on Facebook, Twitter, and on the web. It's Motormouth Radio. And of course, on Instagram, it's Joe's favorite, real underscore Motormouth Radio. And you can see pictures and things about what we do during the week when we're not here behind the microphone. And you can give us a call at 516-256-9510 if you want to get in on the fun. And later on, you can even talk to Carl Anthony while we have him on.
So, very true.
Last we left you, Chris, you were going to go out in the garage last week and do some more work on the Chrysler.
Yes.
Did you get that done? Because people want to know.
Oh, let me tell you. Let me just get into a little bit. I'll just give you the highlights since it's only an hour show. And we'll be talking to Carl very soon. What I did was I realized I think I needed a vacuum advance for the distributor on the old 383. And let me tell you, it's becoming one of those parts that is almost impossible to find.
Really?
Really. I called some diehard guys that I knew would probably come through, and they all gave me the sort of face. They were like, I don't know, it doesn't come up. I don't know what that means in automotive parts lore. I don't know what, when they're looking at the computer tapping away and they go, it doesn't come up. Still don't know what that means. But
I guess.
So what I had to do was I ordered it from a company online. And they sent me one, and believe it or not, Ray, it was a mirror image of the one I had in my hand.
Okay.
So the vacuum advance has got a diaphragm on it, and it has it's like a tail that comes out from the back of it that attaches to the carriage on your distributor. And on mine, if you looked at it from above, the arm was bent towards the left with the little tang that hooks onto that carriage pointed down. On the one I purchased, the arm was running down the right side and the little tang was pointed up. I'm like, it's a mirror image. It was a bizarro vacuum advance.
Well, let me ask you this. Why are you changing the distributor in the first place?
Oh, I wasn't changing the distributor, just the vacuum advance.
Oh, the vacuum. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was, I thought it had a leak. I really did. I thought the diaphragm was bad because every time I'd run the car and feed gas, vroom, 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 and then hook up the vacuum advance, and it would run like a bag of turds.
Okay.
You want to hear that again? I will do it.
Yeah,
that's what it would do. So I realized, I thought, oh, a vacuum advance must have a split in it, allowing a vacuum leak and getting this thing to stumble. Well, what I did was what I should have done. What I should have listened to my longtime radio colleague who was talking in my head. I should have went and got the vacuum pump, which I did.
Yes.
Took the unit out, hooked it up to the vacuum pump, and here's what happened. This was kind of weird. I started pumping vacuum into the diaphragm, and I'm watching the gauge, and it went up to like inches of mercury?
Yeah.
Went up to seven, stayed there. And I'm like, that's not a lot. All of a sudden, ting, it went straight up to like 20.
Whoa.
Well, and stayed there.
Just to be correct, let's define terms. You don't pump vacuum in, you suck vacuum
out. Suck vacuum out. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, thank you for clarifying. Yes, I was sucking instead of pumping. Yes.
Right.
Thank you for making me smile.
Correct.
So this is what I was doing. I was drawing vacuum, and it stayed at a low number, and then went straight up to the 20 inches of mercury and stayed there. As I kept pumping, it would hang in that 20, 21, and I thought, don't be a jerk, and it's holding vacuum. I stood there and watched it holding vacuum. So whatever it was, I mean, mind you, this thing probably hasn't moved in 30 years, and I'm just pretty much, you know, clunking it with a brick.
Yeah.
So I got it to function. The only thing I could figure, it was stuck. Now, why it was making the car run goofy, I have no clue, because I put it back in. I put the points back in, set them to spec, and then timed it. Car runs like gangbusters.
Okay.
So now I have to take that other mirror version back. Now, the only thing I could figure with it is it's got to be like a marine. It's got to be of marine use because everything was backward. And I'm like, what engine would do this? Why would this happen?
I think I know where you're going. Marine engines, if they have two engines, one spins backwards from the other.
Right.
But that's not necessarily the way that I'm thinking. Maybe, you know, you have a 383. Your distributor is in the back of the engine.
No, it's in the front.
It is in the front?
Yeah. Small block Chryslers, it's in the back.
What's that?
Small block Chryslers, it's in the back. 318s, 340s, 360s.
Maybe it's just from a different application, like a 440 or something, or, you know, it was just a different, some different, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because I'm thinking, all right, let me see if I can pull that tang off and spin it around. And then I'm like, wait a minute, the arm is bent the wrong way. Wait a minute, it's on the wrong side. Wait a minute. Okay. Everything was wrong.
Right.
Everything was, it looked the same once I took it out of the box. Once I got it delivered in the foyer, I opened it up, went, yeah, that's it. Put it back in the box, pushed it aside, and that was the end of it. I did not expect it to be a complete opposite.
Maybe it was misboxed.
Oh, could have been.
What brand part is it? Do you remember?
It didn't have a brand name, believe it or not. But right now, here's the funny. Right now, beggars can't be choosers here.
Yeah.
I don't have. I mean, I could probably order a new old stock off of eBay and spend a chunk of change. But why would you want to order new old stock of something that has a rubber diaphragm in it?
No, you know what you would do? What I would do in that case is I would go to either Summit or Jegs, one of the aftermarket companies, and I would order an aftermarket one that's adjustable.
You just mentioned the one I ordered from. So,
okay,
Summit,
perfect. And you put an Allen key through that vacuum.
Yes,
port, and you can actually adjust and tune that diaphragm.
I just learned that by reading the instructions off the one I ordered.
Good.
But it doesn't do me any good because it doesn't fit in the distributor. So it's now a paperweight.
Okay.
So now it's an ashtray. So we got to figure out what to do with it.
That's the problem a lot of guys are having now with older cars. It's used to be able to go to the corner store and just get stuff over the counter because it was common. And now it's not so common anymore.
No, I was just talking to there's an individual that I know in Milford Auto Parts, and we were going back and forth. He's a Chrysler guy, so it was kind of nice, refreshing to talk. And we were talking about parts guy stare,
yeah.
And we were talking about walking into a chain store and just pretty much they lose their complete knowledge once you get past Christmas tree air fresheners. So it's, or waxes or light bulbs or anything like that. And he was aware of it. He said, yeah, he said the parts are now becoming harder and harder to come by. When we thought at one time, Chryslers were plentiful.
Oh, they were. Sure.
They were.
When's he coming on the show? You had to pitch it to him, right? If not, you should.
Some things you have to leave alone.
Well, sometimes you gotta sometimes you have to wait and warm a guy up to it. I've gone through plenty of times.
Because they go sure. You're doing a radio show in your basement. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. These days, years ago that was kind of you would be like, an oddball. Today, you're just anybody else working from home.
You're an oddball with a radio show.
Now, what about, did you look at any of the restoration companies, the places that sell restoration parts for that car, like, Year One or OPG or I don't know.
Not yet. I've been avoiding those places just because of the prices. That's all.
'Cause I'll tell you what. We've talked with those guys. I've dealt with them. And then, I do a lot of business with Ames. It's all Pontiac stuff.
Sure.
And, of course, we see them in Englishtown and other places. And on Plane and Traffic, the Thursday Night Show, we've had some of the guys on. We've had OPG. We've had I just blanked it to the other one. Some of these, the big aftermarket companies. And these people, the guys are relatively younger now who work there, but they're very, very knowledgeable. And the products they sell, they know they're selling to a discriminate group. So they sell, they don't sell junk. And like you said, it may be a little more expensive, but it's quality and it's going to work. It's not just some Reebok Chinese junk.
I have to laugh. You mentioned that. I went into an auto parts store and I bought a set of points for the car. And they sold, I took out the points. I made the mistake. I did not take out the points when I was at the store. I took out the points when I was home. And I looked at them and they looked like they were made out of tin foil. And there were parts that were missing. It was just like, what is this little
flimsy? Oh, you're being too kind.
It looked like half a spider. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Well, I took it back. And I said, can I get a replacement for these? These aren't the ones that work. And the guy was like, well, what do you mean? They get all uppity. What do you mean? And I said, well, you got to set up like a blue streak or something like that. And he goes, oh, now you're naming brands. Oh, no, wait a minute. I got an old Chrysler. What do you think I want to put in this car? A piece of tin? No, I want the good stuff. Do you mind? Give me the good stuff. It's an old car.
On that note, have you thought about doing like a Petronics or electronic conversion in that distributor?
It crossed my mind. It did.
Because they're easy to do. It's very easy to do.
No, it's true. But I was thinking I have to put things in some sort of priority order. And right now, the way I'm looking is, A, we've got to get that oil pan dent out. So in order to get that oil pan dent out, this is how we steamroll. When you have to get the oil pan dent out. So that's the first thing. So in order to do that, you got to pull the cross member down. Why the exhaust cross member? So why would you want to take that crossover pipe, pull that down when put a set of duals on the car? So let's do that. So the duals are going to go on. And then once that's done, then I could take care of that oil pan dent.
On that note, I don't think that oil pan dent is a high priority. I mean, the car's running. It's not making noise.
No.
It's got a dent. The oil's a little higher in the engine, like big deal. I'm being serious here. I don't think that's that big of a – if it was oil pan hole, I'd say, you got to address it. But, I don't think that's a huge, huge thing.
Well, I don't know. It's just to me, I don't know where the screen is as far as in relation to the dent. I don't know how much oil's getting sucked in. I don't want to rev this thing too far. I don't feel like spinning a bearing. I'm being tender with it, and I don't want to be tender with it.
It's a Chrysler. You're gonna beat it with a stick. It'll be fine. Carl Anthony's in with us. He just has to unmute himself. I see he's got that red. There we go.
Ah, Carl is able to speak. How are you?
Good. I feel like every time, with Zoom meetings today, It's always, hey, can you hear me? No, wait a minute. You're on mute. Okay, I can see you, but I can't hear you. So it looks like we got through this one relatively unscathed.
Yeah, well, it's still early in the show, Carl. You never know.
We have plenty of time. Don't worry. You know,
we have plenty of time to drop this thing like a hot potato. Don't worry.
Right. So I got to laugh. You guys had put up that post on Twitter and you said radio station parking. And the first thing I thought was, well, and I don't know if you guys do this, but as a car guy, I've done the where I park far away because I don't want door dings. But I also want to turn around and look at the wash job I just did. So when I saw that sign, when you guys posted that sign on Twitter, I thought, I wonder if that reserved parking for Motormouth Radio is actually – you know, out in the North 40, so they don't get any door dings.
It's right across from the door that lets you into the station. You couldn't be closer.
Look at that. So,
but unfortunately, that's not where we are. We're at our respective dachas.
Right.
Carl, it's funny you should mention that because Ray and I have opposite thoughts on that subject.
What a surprise. Okay.
Yeah, and this is one of the many things we have opposite thoughts on the subject.
Sure.
Because I think like you, mm-hmm. I will park in the next state.
Yes.
I'll go way out there. I'll leave it there. And of course, when you come out to go get your car, there's 9 other cars around it, right?
Exactly. Right.
Ray will take his classic car and park with the old ladies right in the front of the Walmart. He'll go right there. He'll be car number 3, and he'll be like inches away from either minivan on either right. side.
Right.
And he'll shimmy out. He'll get right. out of the car. And he never gets door dings.
Really?
As of now.
You know, one day, Carl, when we were doing the show at the station, Chris and I together, I did. I parked between Chris's car and Rob Leonard's car. Rob mm-hmm. Leonard does a show before us. And Chris says, what, are you crazy putting your car there? I'm like, that's the safest spot in the lot. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, Rob is never going around to the passenger side of his car. I'm like, right. You know, and I know I got you on the other side. I'm watching you close.
Hey, good point.
I'm protected.
You know, good point. I, you know, Jeep and Al Handy posted a thing on Twitter. It's been a while ago, maybe a year ago or so, but he said, if you don't turn around and look at your car when you park it somewhere, you've bought the wrong car.
Yeah.
And I've always been inspired by that thing that he put up because I thought,
right.
yes, I don't like the door dings, but man, when you get a good wash job, and you know, you get the wheels to shine, you get the paint to shine, like there is nothing like, we, you know, Kroger here in Michigan, so that's our big grocery. Nothing like walking out in that big Kroger parking lot, and, you know, and there's your rig just, you know, right out
yeah.
there.
You know, not only that, I mean, I turn just maybe sometimes just the way, you know, the car just sits right.
Yes.
It just looks right. And
guys have it all wrong. Oh, my gosh. So wrong.
Yeah.
You look at your car to make sure nothing's leaking.
Well.
Or the point. Car's not on fire.
Good point.
That's a good point. That's
good
true.
Point.
That's true.
But there are times, Ray, where, yeah, it's sitting and the sunlight hits it just right. And, you know, I always felt that way. I've had some older Ford trucks over the years. And so when I first moved to Michigan, I used to work at a warehouse here called Jackson Dawson. They, you know, and so I, outside of the metal shop at the warehouse, when I would pull my truck up there, it was like, you're in the back lot of the warehouse and the metal shop is there. And, you know, I mean, my truck was gray, so it just looks so good sitting there, you know, and just the way the light would hit it either early in the morning or, you know, late in the afternoon when we would get off work and you'd come out and you'd be dirty. I mean, you know, it's just Detroit, you know, you're working in a metal shop, right? So you'd feel so good about it, but that truck would be sitting there and you'd be like, man, it just looks good in this environment right now, you know, just the pallets stacked up and, you know, so I know what you mean.
Right. Yeah, anything that looks that good is not mine.
You know, I'll tell you something, you know, it's cool. Cause I spent some time back on automobileblog.net. I don't always go on a website. I see the social media feeds.
Yes.
I want to catch up on some stuff. And
yes, please.
And I think I'm going to take some chances on that 74 BMW 2002. I think I need that car.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Now I'm eyeing up that 73 International Scout. That's the
okay.
One.
There you
That's
go.
The well, one I'm looking at.
Going on that notion, what I found was an older article on your site where you guys had done, you reviewed a 2013 Toyota FJ Cruiser.
Yeah.
And I am this close right now to being an FJ Cruiser owner.
Right.
I just, okay. You know, it's at the shop. They got it in, and I have to just – I was playing with it yesterday, and I have to just take – throw a transporter plate on it and drive it.
Right.
And the problem I'm having – this is a big, big stumbling block of me. I have to cut loose my Mazda 3 because how many cars can you have in the house,
okay,
right?
Okay, right, right.
And I'm going to give up my little 3, my 5-speed, my little zippy cruiser that's easy to park and go for this big lumbering FJ that is hard to see out of. It's got blind spots. It gets – terrible gas mileage and
right.
cool as hell. And
yes,
after I was playing with the FJ yesterday, I walked away. And what I did is I turned back and I gave it the look. And then I took my phone, took a picture of it. I said, yeah, you're a tough looking truck.
Yeah. So I wonder, so like with the FJ, right? So, you know, Land Rover recently has come back with the Defender. You had big news on the Ford Bronco.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Jeep's standing. You know,
oh, yeah.
Jeep is just, you know, Jeep is, you know, number one with the off-road crowd. So part of me started to wonder, like, I wonder if those older FJs will make a comeback for a certain group of enthusiasts, right? You know,
I'll tell you something. Around here, they haven't lost it. I mean, the 13s right. and the 14s are going for $30,000.
Yep.
Wow.
They haven't lost their value.
I mean, I'm looking at this one. I'm looking at is an 08. It's an earlier one, but I ran a Carfax on it, and it's got a high value. I mean, they're really right. And around here on Long Island, you know, we get winter, we get snow.
Sure,
I've noticed because I've been watching these trucks for the last, I'm going to say about 4 years. Around the late fall, when the weather starts to change, they disappear. You don't see it. And I realize, like, where are all the FJ?
Right.
In the spring, they come out again. People put them in the garage and they don't drive them.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
No, I'm like, man. So they're staying in really good condition because of that, because they're not getting used. I mean, it's going to be my everyday vehicle, so it's going to get driven in everything.
Of course.
But, I don't know. I have to make that decision. I have to come to grips with the economic change, you know?
Yes. Like fuel economy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they say
you don't have to get rid of the Mazda, do you? I mean, the Mazda has to be on the chopping block.
Well,
you have others.
Well, I do. You see, the Mazda, I'd like to keep the 3, but that has a 5-speed, and no one else in the family. You know, my wife and daughter now share 2 of the other cars. They share the Cruze and the other Mazda, the Protege. Okay. The Protege should go. I just had that car in the lift yesterday. It's getting time. I'm having a starter issue. It's to the point of, you know, put money into it. It's still a good station car. You know, I love it's a great driver, but yeah, it's getting a little long in the tooth. But that's an automatic. And my daughter, you know, even though my daughter wanted to learn to drive a stick, I haven't taught her. So I'd love to keep the 3, but that's the one that would have to go, unfortunately. So yeah, I don't know. Problems.
There's still a black 4-door sitting there that doesn't do much.
No one's driving that. I took it out last week. Yeah, right. I had my Impala out last week. Took it out and cruised around, and what a boat! I tell you, drive that car. And it is, you know, it takes me back to the days when we all drove big cars.
Yes.
You know, when a deuce and a quarter was in every driveway, you got in. I mean, any Impala or Caprice or Galaxy, you know, they were just commonplace. It feels so weird after driving small cars for so long, you know.
Right. Yeah, my dad had a 79 Ford Thunderbird, like a light blue, you know. Nice. And it was not, I mean, it was garaged. It was a car that he drove, you know, for rare occasions. But yeah, 351 Cleveland under the hood. And I remember sitting in the front seat when I was a kid. And of course, when you're a kid, you know, you're little. I mean, just that long hood. And then way at the end, you could, you know, there was the Thunderbird logo on the end of the hood. But it had the tires, you know, with the white wall around them. You know, I mean, had the and I thought it was so cool when I was a kid. So like underneath, kind of like the front dash, kind of like where a center touchscreen in a car would be today. There was this switch, and when he pulled on this switch, it would raise the radio antenna on the back. And you'd hear the antenna go up. And I thought it was like, when I was a kid, I thought it was the coolest thing. I was like hearing the sound of that antenna. And then, you know, he'd turn on the radio. And that was, I mean, but that was a beautiful, big car, just a beautiful, big car. He drove a Chevy truck as his daily driver, but he had that Ford Thunderbird as a, you know, he'd had that since it was brand new.
What year was that T-Bird, Carl? I'm sorry if you said
In 1979. Okay. With a 351 Cleveland under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was everything about that car was big. Two-door coupe, big doors, just big. Everything about it was big. And you don't see many big cars.
You know, it's funny because one of the things I started doing now is I've been watching Perry Mason in the morning, the original Perry Mason.
Right.
And you know, Perry drove, I guess they were sponsored by Ford, because just the one that was on yesterday, he was driving a big a convertible Lincoln, a four-door convertible Lincoln, a Continental, mm-hmm. Of course, he's a lawyer. And, you know, the PI that he used pulls up. He's driving a convertible T-Bird, like a bubble bird. And yeah, that T-Bird is a cool-looking car. That was definitely the more flashy, mid-level, mm-hmm. You know, the guy that was maybe in his 30s to 40s would right. drive that, you know. Mm-hmm. And just the cool-looking cars, definitely.
You just, you don't see them. And, you know, I like Cadillac. I mean, there are some modern, larger, big sedans, but Cadillac got rid of the CT6. So if you're looking for a big sedan, you're going to have to spend some money. You're talking BMW 7 Series, you know, but the Genesis G90, and I had occasion to drive that earlier this year. So that's a big car. You've got two engine options. You've got the Kia Stinger engine option, the 3.3 liter V6, and then you've got a 5-liter V8, naturally aspirated V8. It's either rear drive or all-wheel drive. Of course, in Michigan, most everything is going to be all-wheel drive, but you do have the option. But that is a big car, you know, a big traditional, and it's not quite as much money starting MSRP as like the BMW 7 Series. But these days, if you want a big car like that, you're going to have to spend a pretty good amount, you know, in order to get it.
Carl, how is the Genesis, how is the luxury appointments in something like that? Because they're really going for the BMW crowd. You got to hand it to Kia. They're really, they have, sometimes you think they have more guts than brains, because they're going for the carriage trade here. They're going for the luxury.
It's, absolutely.
Does so it I'm, measure up?
So I'll preface this by saying in my professional opinion, you know what I mean? Because I want to make room.
Did you always want to say that when you were growing up?
Yes. Well, I did. I always wanted to be, you know.
My professional opinion.
In my professional opinion, you need that goiter removed.
In my view, in my experience with the Genesis G90, the on-road dynamics are absolutely there. The car literally rode like a magic carpet. I mean, I mean, we went down Interstate 94 here in Michigan, and I didn't feel a thing, like nothing.
As far as
looking the part, yeah, it looked the part, you know, good fuel economy. The only thing that I thought in my review was that the interior was lacking a little bit for that true discerning buyer. And so, in dealing with luxury cars, some of the knobs and the buttons inside the Genesis seemed a little flimsy.
Mm.
You know, so it's like if you're a real discerning buyer, yes, on-road dynamics are awesome, but some of the interior trim could use in future generations, could probably use an upgrade. So, good example is, you know, Genesis has the center dial, right?
Sure.
So you can do a touch screen, but the idea is that you can drive, and on the center console, you can move through different things with the dial. So your satellite radio, your climate control, all your connectivity features. And Lexus has this too, with like that little mouse touchpad interface. But this is this whole idea. You see Mercedes-Benz do it, that you can just slightly move your hand and you can access the screen without touching it. In the Genesis, it's nice. It's fairly intuitive, but the knob that you do feels really flimsy and cheap. It feels like they borrowed it from a Hyundai or a Kia.
Which they did.
Right, which they did. So is that the end of the world? No, considering the starting MSRP is about $70,000 and it's way less money than a comparable car. It's just that if you're really trying to go for that discerning buyer, some of those little interior treatments you've really got to tweak, because in my view, BMW and Mercedes and some of the higher end cars like that, they have those interiors figured out down to a science like that. And they are very plush, you know. Oh, but yeah. For on-road dynamics, 100%. I mean, that Genesis G90 was solid as a rock and smooth as could be. And for being a big car, got up and moved. And I didn't have occasion to drive the 5-liter. I had the 3.3 liter, the Lambda twin turbo V8, which is the Kia Stinger engine.
Right.
But the press car I had was rear drive, but that thing sailed, you know. And the week before that, I had the Genesis G70, which is equally as nice of a car, but that, when I got in that G90, I thought, man, this reminds me of my dad's Thunderbird, you know, nothing but hood. You look out and there's nothing but hood, man.
Yeah. Well, if you ever need test drivers, we have clean licenses.
Sure do.
I tell you what else we have clean. We cleaned our clock and we're going to take our bottom of the hour break, Carl. So we need you to just hang on with us for a few minutes while we take care of this. And Chris, do we have an honor group of the hour today?
Of course we do, Almighty, we do. And it's funny that Carl mentions his dad's car, because the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, if you long for your first car, if you dream of getting that old Vega back, or that big Delta 88, or that Pacer that you had in high school, well, if you sold it or wrecked it or horse-traded it or lost in a poker game or gave it to your little brother, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you miss that first car you ever had, there you
go. Nice. And we'll talk about that when we come back on Motormouth Radio. Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino with Mr. Carl Anthony from automoblog.net. And we'll be back in a few. And 90.3 WHPC. Here we go.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
All right, we're back. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer in with Mr. Carl Anthony today from automoblog.net. And Chris, you were yammering on the break about something that I couldn't really pay attention to because I was watching the screen. So please repeat that.
the funny thing is, the last time Carl was on, we were talking about something and I threw an obscure question. I can't remember what the obscure question was that I threw at you last time. But Carl, I got to ask you, and please stop me if this has ever been discussed before, but when you have a driveway at your house, you basically, it's not like a drive around. There's a driveway that approaches a garage, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When you pull into the driveway, do you back into the driveway and back the car up to the garage, or do you drive up to the garage where your headlights are pointed at the door? Which way do you go, sir?
I back in.
You back in.
I back in. And I've done this even at apartments that I've owned, that I've had, like where there's a garage in the complex. I back in always.
Now, why is that?
Is that for a speedy exit?
Well, yeah, well, one, a speedy exit. But okay, so honestly, this goes back to what we talked about before. You know, this is why I park far away, because I like to look at the vehicle. So I will back in, and especially when I had my trucks and I had like the chrome package on them, I would back right up to the garage, I go for a walk around the block or go for a walk down the street or go down and check the mail, right? So I could get a good look at it. So I'm definitely a guy who backs into a spot, or if there's like a curb, like again at the grocery store or someplace, I will back in. I'm that guy.
Okay, because I am that guy too. I will back in. And Ray had a very good point. I will back up to the garage. My wife, on the other hand, will drive up.
Yes.
And we always go back and forth. I'm like, why do you drive up? She's like, I like to drive in. But then you're backing out.
Well, yes. If you think of this on a larger scale, I think the writing is on the wall. Because you said it comes out on this show more times than not. Everybody in the world thinks different than you.
No, they don't.
No.
Only you, Ray.
I'll weigh in on this. I do both, and it all depends.
You do both. And yeah. I know it. That's why this question shouldn't be posed to you, because you do both.
Well, because it depends on the application or what I'm doing. Or, you know, sometimes I may park a car one way because of the angle of the sun. If I don't want the sun on the windshield. Yeah, really.
Fair point.
You will park your car. You mean a weather condition dictates which way you're going to park the car?
Could, yeah, sure, absolutely.
That's hysterical.
Or sometimes, like, if I know I'm going to be, I want to put the car in the driveway, and I have a long driveway, and I need to get other things past it, so I'll back in because I can put the passenger side close to the fence so I can still get out on the driver's side.
Right.
That may be another reason why I'll do that. So.
Oh, my gosh. The wind has shifted to the left. It's 5 to 10 miles an hour. I got to turn the car around.
Well, like when it snows, I put all the cars in the driveway. I back them all in.
Yes.
Shoved up against that fence.
You stack them on top of each other.
I stack them on top. This way I have room to get the snowblower past on the left side. And, you know, right. Again, there's definitely considerations that in my life, at least.
You stack them on the roof.
I got to say, Chris, you know, over the last couple years that I've been doing this show, you know, Ray has brought up a really good point when he says, if you want to get a classic car, if you want to get into the hobby, find the car you drove in high school, or find your first car, or find a car you have an emotional connection to. Doesn't have to be a Shelby Mustang or a Gen 1 Camaro, you know. So I think about that, like, so, you know, my very first Ford Ranger pickup, you know what I mean? And again, you know, there's a million Ford Ranger pickups that they made thousands of them. But, you know, if I had a similar version to the very first Ford Ranger pickup I had, yeah, I would probably park that in reverse, you know, mostly because it's just it's maybe it's an emotional thing. Maybe it's just the car guy in me. But I'm like, if I have a truck and it's backed in, it looks ready to go. And I had always said, and I've never had the opportunity to do this, but I actually just recently said this to my wife. I said, what would be nice is if you had a driveway, and then, like, sometimes we'll go look at houses, right? You know, we'll go and we'll look at houses, and you'll see how they have that side concrete, like, off to the side. I've always said, I want to have that side concrete separate from the garage so I could back whatever vehicle I had up there. I could wash it, and then I could let it sit out there. And maybe that's just a vanity thing, a car guy thing. But I can tell you, if I had that first Ranger that I had, if I could find a good one, it was good shape. And yeah, I'd probably back it up into the house. I
agree.
I'll admit
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths and Carl Anthony.
Hi, how are you guys?
Who's this?
Good.
My name is Ben. I'm calling from Queens.
Hey, Ben.
So I had a question.
Sure.
I have a Ram 1500 pickup truck. I just got brand new tires on the back with a lot of meat on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the front ones are okay. They're about halfway gone.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my friend.
No, the answer already, Ben.
Okay.
I stopped you cold. You want to know where to put the new tires, right? Front or back?
Yeah.
Is that a four-wheel drive truck or two-wheel?
It's four-wheel drive.
Oh, then you should have changed all four. Four-wheel and all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
The convention is to change all four together for multiple reasons, tread width and ABS and whatnot. But generally on – and I got bit by this a couple of years ago hard. And my wife will tell you, because we went off the road and she was scared crapless.
You were a projectile.
Yeah. The new tires go on the rear, not the front. Yes. Like I'd always thought.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, tight. I put the new tires on the rear, but the fronts are about halfway gone. The originally, the back ones were totally bald, so I replaced them.
Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah.
What you tend to see... Oh, go ahead. What you tend to see, Ben, is especially with trucks, and so, you know, dealing with wear time and loss of traction, trucks are light in the back end. So, you know, if you lose a vehicle in the front, you tend to have steering feedback because you can feel it in the wheel. But if you lose a vehicle in the rear, it's very hard to get it back. So, especially with a truck being light in the back end, you know. So I pray that, you know, your better treads, especially in a truck coming with winter coming up, you definitely want to have those in the back end just for additional traction.
I'll tell you this, a Mazda 3 does the same thing. Now, I run snow tires on my car, 4 snow tires, and it just so happened I needed to replace 2 of them. And I did, and I put those in the front, figuring, oh, good, front wheel drive. I get the better tires in the front, and the worn, they weren't worn out, obviously, because I didn't change them, but the tires that were worn more, I had in the back, and we were in a slushy, slushy mixture on the road, and all I did was change lanes. I made a lateral move. I didn't make a turn. And the back end went right out, and we just gracefully made this 180 up a curb, and then onto oncoming traffic getting off of a highway. My wife was like, ah!
Right.
Stopped it just in time, and what the hell just happened? And it was because the front tires had so much grip and control, I didn't feel the rear losing.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how you do that, Ben. So
there you go, Ben.
Yeah, Ben, I'd say just change those front tires out as soon as you can, you know, as soon as you can change out those front tires, and you
should sell a kidney or something, you know. It's
how many kids you have? Sell those.
Well, I'm looking at tires for this FJ because it's going to need them, and I want to put it on black steel rims. I don't want the aluminum rim. So I'm looking at tire prices, and that's a truck platform. And I'm like, oh, man. And I need 4 of them. You know, I'm like, geez, what? I have to rent out one of the kids or something. What am I going to do here?
Well, there you go, Ben. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Ben. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime, Ben. Give us a call. Whatever you got, whatever problem or question, we'll be happy to help you out.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Be safe. Bye-bye.
So, Carl, speaking of that, on audibleblog.net, there's a article, do these 5 things for your car before winter comes.
Yes.
Now, that's something we've always covered on this show, but why don't you encapsulate that for us? Because it's with winter coming, it's a good idea.
Yes, absolutely. So really the idea behind that was we worked with Advanced Auto Parts to put this guide together. And the idea of the guide was to be, there's 5 parts that we go through, and all of them are relatively simple to check in your own driveway. So because we do have a lot of readers that, you know, they don't have necessarily the tools in their garage to do it. So we tried to focus on stuff that, look, you know, you get home from work, you can do this stuff in a half hour. So air filters, wiper blades, you know, doing a good visual inspection of your serpentine belt. If your car has it, check your cabin air filter. You know, so we just tried to go through some simple maintenance things that you can do before wintertime just to help get your car ready. You know, so we talk about, you know, hey, it may seem like we're stating the obvious here, but, you know, you want to have a good set of wiper blades, right? Because if your wiper blades are bad, and your battery is bad, like, these things are going to happen in inconvenient times. Like when your car decides not to start, it's always at an inconvenient time. If your serpentine belt were to break and it were to fly off, it would most certainly be at an inconvenient time. So part of the guide was to go, you know, here's 4 or 5 parts that really just, you can check yourself, you can check in your driveway, you know. Serpentine belt is a little more difficult, but air filters, wiper blades, you know, that's all stuff you can do within just a couple of minutes, you know. So, and then at the end of the guide, then we said, after you have done all these things, it's still a good idea to see a professional mechanic because they can go deeper, they can look for other things. But at least before winter starts, while the weather is still nice, while we still have some daylight, you know, get out, check your tires, check your air filters, you know, make sure that, you know, if you can't remember the last time you changed your battery, you know, it might be time for a new one so you don't get stranded, you know. So that was really the basis of it. And Advance Auto Parts, just they approached us about kind of putting a guide together, and so we went ahead and did it, got it published the other day.
Yeah, I had some guy Vinny come out of an alley and he approached me about some stuff the other day, but we really couldn't put it on the website. So
you lost your wallet.
But I want to add something to that. Let me ask you if this counts, because with the wiper blades, I mean, the wiper blade, the blades and the rubber, you know, and you should get a good blade. Don't get a cheapie. Get a, you know, the good blades do make a big difference in
performance. They sure do.
But I did something the other day on the Mazda Protege related to the wiper blades, and I don't know if this qualifies or not. I noticed that the sides of the arms and even the tops of the blades had gotten rusty.
Yeah.
And what I did is I unscrewed them from the – I took them off. I put them on the wire wheel, and I just painted them with some semi, you know, some semi-gloss black paint. I put them on the car and said, wow. Yeah, right. You look through the windshield and it's the first thing you see. And I was like, that looks good.
Yeah, makes a difference.
It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. Little things like that, you know.
Right.
You know, I've done that on Hondas. I had a couple of Hondas where, like you say, the rust is coming through that black whatever color, whatever it is, primer or paint, whatever it is. And yeah, I've done the same thing. Get a little wheel on them, get the rust off them, shoot them with a semi-black, put them back on the car. It makes such a difference. It looks great.
I hope you remember, not like last time, take them off the windshield first, because I know you had those black marks. We didn't know what it was. Like, cat die on there with
you. I was going looking through the slit in there where the windshield wiper, where it is, there's a little slit of glass. Something. Right.
So interesting story. There's actually a follow-up article to this one coming where it's like, you don't need to change your air filter. Just spray it with some Mama Switzers. You don't even need to worry about it. You know, if you think your battery, just hit the terminals with a little Mama Switzer brings it.
Mother Switzer's convertible top soap will cure all.
Depending on the condition of that battery tray, the battery may remain in the car or be on the ground, because that's everything. That was one of Joe's favorites. Joe loves Mother Switzers. You know, I just talked to Joe the other day, and he brings that up once in a while.
You spray it on the paper element of the filter, and the paper just disintegrates. It just gets right.
It technically cleans it. I mean, technically, all the debris and everything is gone. I mean,
correct.
Technically, it does work. You know, if you don't have wipers, just lean out the window with your left hand and just get a spray bottle, and you're fine.
It'll take a layer of glass off.
Mama Switzer spreads naturally, so you don't need much. Just two or three good sprays, and it'll keep that frost right off the window.
That's what they said. Yeah, that was the rumor. Yeah, I know. Hey, you know, on another note, you know, one of the blog aside, which is a great resource that people should always pay attention to.
Thank you.
Crutchfield, which is one of the great audio companies that sells. I've bought from Crutchfield for many years. They report now on their public media, social media feed, that vinyl sales have eclipsed CDs for the first time since the 80s.
Really?
Oh, us record guys are back up on top again.
I love it.
Booyah! Yeah.
Did they say who's buying those? Is it young people or is it us older guys that are doing it?
No, Carl, it's just Ray.
It's just
Ray. Ray buys so many records, he's actually tipped the scale.
I did. Actually, they didn't say it in this article. I read it in another one, and basically it's kind of across the scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the millennials, like I have a daughter who's a millennial, and she buys records, you know?
Right.
She does.
Right.
It's across the board. It's all different ranges and ages that are doing it. And of course, the older folks are doing it for nostalgia.
I think anyone who's buying records now did not have them in a soapbox or a milk crate or drag them up a flight of stairs. Anyone who's buying them now didn't have them in any of the, didn't do them any of those two ways. Did not have them in a milk crate and did not hump them up a flight of stairs.
I'll tell you the truth. Our friend Joe at Infinity Records down in Massapequa, that's where I go to buy all my stuff. We've had him on the show. He does a great business, a booming business, and he buys, he'll do like estate sales. He did one a couple of weeks ago. A guy had sick in the city. He went to Manhattan. 6,000 albums this guy had.
Jeez.
And audio gear. So, I mean, this guy, I assume he was older, much older, and was just selling out. But, you know, Joe buys it, and he just turns it around and resells it. It goes. Right.
Yeah. And it goes for a premium. People love that stuff.
Well, he sells stuff very reasonably. You know, I've been in multitude of different record stores. I haven't been traveling around now because of the pandemic, but whenever I'm somewhere else, I like to go into, you know, the local stores and shops and see what's going on. And now one of the things I can do is go into little record stores because they're opening up again, which is cool. So I'm waiting to be able to do that again, you know.
So and vinyl outsold, would you say, CDs for the first time since the 80s?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Which isn't really surprising because you know, a lot of people I know, even guys our age and older, they don't even buy CDs. They just go right for the digital download. And like, I like that tangible thing in my hand. I like to have the product.
I do too. Yeah.
And a lot of people I talk to just go for the digital download. And,
yeah, I'm one of them. I just put it on the computer, hit play, walk away.
Yeah.
Hit rotate, whatever it is, shuffle.
Yep. Yeah.
Walk away. That's it. Done.
I grew up in the cassette tape era, and my dad had a mountain of cassette tapes. You know, I mean, just you know, his mountain. But back then, you know, when I was growing up, Dolby Surround was a big deal. You know,
sure.
So tape player was hooked up to mids and center speakers and front and rear speakers, and then eventually he did get a CD player. I want to say it was mid 90s or so. It was a Yamaha CD player. It was a 7-disc changer and it was huge. It was massive. I mean, it was huge.
I don't know who he's talking to.
Yes.
These were all Motormouth radio shows on cassette.
Radio, you would do that. You would record, you know, your radio on cassette tape.
Sure. Back to the early 2000s, yeah.
Yeah, Carl, we have Motormouth radio shows on cassette. That was the real reason why we used to do the bottom of the hour break was so I can flip the cassette tape.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Or for those who really old school radio, carts back in the day, you had carts for your commercials and things like that. And, you know.
Yeah. I hate to tell you, I just got rid of a cart machine and I had to leave it at the dump.
These are the old loads for the studio deck.
That's it, yep.
What else you want?
Yeah, Mr. Medium over there.
We're getting close to the, I'll tell you something, we got 7 minutes left, so we should have our final thoughts. Because Kim's going to come in, so we're going to have to. Carl, anything you want to throw out there that was that you want to drop on the audience today? This is how to do it.
You know, I think that again, you know, I just want to say thank you for the support for Automoblog, for following us on social media, for reading our site. We have gleaned a lot. We've gleaned a lot of knowledge from the Motormouth audience and the Motormouth crew. And being a part of this show and being a part of this audience has given me back personally, you know, the love for the automobile. Sometimes when you're working around it every day and it's day in and day out, so sometimes you forget, you lose that passion, you know, and sometimes you forget because it's always one meeting after another, or it's another press release, or it's another deadline, right? And automotive can sometimes be monotonous like that, but it's great to go to Twitter to see our core audience, many of them who've come from the Motormouth crew, you know, to see the, you know, the Jeep and Al Handys of the world, the Chassis Johns, Dina Parisi, you know, Amber Dawn Glover, to see people like that and interact with them. It gives me, you know, being on the show today, it reminds me, like, this is why I've chosen to have a career in automotive, right? Because of the community, because of the passion for cars. So the only thing I just want to say is thanks for all the support. And, you know, we're going to keep producing content, and you can always reach out to me personally if you have a question on buying a car or a question on servicing a car. I'm happy to help you. And if I don't know the answer, we can get you to the right people who do.
Yeah. I was going to, that's very kind words, Carl. Thank you. I was going to say, most people, after they spend some time with us, say, this is why I went to college, got an education and a good job, to get away from these fools. These are the guys I hung out with all my life.
All those crazy kids that I hung out with in school actually grew up and turned into radio hosts.
And still do the same stuff.
Still do this thing, whatever they do.
Well, I tell you what, now for the rest of the day, and probably for a while, I'm going to be like, okay, if I back into my, if I back in, what does that mean? am I communicating some kind of message if I back, like, if I go grocery shopping and I back my vehicle in, do people look at me and go, oh, great, one of those guys.
One of those guys.
One of those guys. You
He's
know?
Always ready to run.
Yeah, so now I go, now my whole week is ruined because now I'm like, which way do I park?
No, you know what? I'll say this. I'll say this about backing in. It is safer when you want to leave, because you don't have to look at multiple angles. You don't have to.
Yeah, right.
It is. But a lot of people have backing up trepidation. You know, when I was moving cars to shop yesterday, one of them had three wheels. The other one was some Explorer cars I'd never driven before. And, right. and you got to move them and back them up. And you just learn, like, listen, just trust your instincts. And, more people should have to do that, I think. That should be part of a driving test. Back up a car you've never driven before.
Now you just have a camera. So,
well, true.
No,
I love the way Carl has now woven some sort of psychological theory, some thesis that's going along, some hypothesis. So
I know it's going to happen. I know now. I can never unsee this thing as now that Chris has now brought up. So.
Right.
It's like when you play golf, when you're ready to swing, do you breathe in or do you breathe out? That's it. Just ruined your whole game.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to breathe out now, fellas, and get out of here because Kim is coming in. We got to set up and play a thing. And Carl, thank you for coming back. And of course, we'll have you back again. We'll be in touch. And you can hang out and stay with us for a bit if you want. So, Chris, what do we always say when we get out of here?
Don't follow us home and read Automoblog.
Right. So for Chris Switzer and Carl Anthony, Ray Guarino saying, have a great week. We'll see you next week. We don't know if we have a guest yet. We'll let you know. And we'll see you then on 90.3 WHPC.
See you, bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.